I'm really excited about, as our hub team, our core team in our church, we've been meeting together and looking at the content of this series that we're about to embark on. And I honestly believe it's going to help bring people into a place of breakthrough in the area of finance. It's not a come to church and get rich message series. It's not that at all. So do not think that we're preaching a theology like that. But it's incredible how money can be the root of a lot of people's concerns and worries in this lifetime. Does anyone relate to that at times? You've been in a financial pinch at times? Yeah, the spirit of money, the spirit of mammon, getting that hold over your life, where all of a sudden God's not the one in the lead, it's your bank account that's in the lead. So this series that we're about to go into is going to talk about things like that and breaking free from that. Now, let me encourage you, this series that we're about to embark on is a great one to actually bring people along to as well, because we all live in a world where money is an issue. So if you know anyone that's dealing with money or living and alive, then it's a great opportunity to bring them along and say, hey, look, do you need to find breakthrough in this area of your life? This might be the key to help open that door to breakthrough for you. So let's be praying for people that we know, family, friends, people in your workplace that you can invite and actually bring on this journey, because I know myself that I want to be set free from some things, from financial strain, so that I can be a greater blessing to people in my community, so I can release the kingdom finance into hands of people that are in need. So let me encourage you. It's going to be a great series. Now, one thing that I need to mention is today is a very special day, not just because it's the day the Lord has made, but also because it's Pastor Alex's birthday. And she's been here leading us in praise and worship. Come up here, Pastor Alex. Come up here. I know you just sat down. But we just want to honour you with a lovely bouquet, a bucket of flowers, a bucket of flowers. And is it inappropriate to sing happy birthday? It is. Let's do it then. All right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear
Alex.
Happy birthday to you. Hear me? Hey! There we go. And the gold dust is falling now. It's like Richmond winning the grand final. But, it's so lovely that you led us in worship and praise, and we thought the least we could do is sing happy birthday back to you. Actually, talking about that, someone else's birthday 2 weeks ago. Sorry. Well, in my head, I thought that you were doing something after service tonight for... Was it someone else's birthday? Simon Giacometti. Sorry, it's the other Simon on the drums. My brain was like, I swear it's a Simon's birthday today. And that's what I saw, Simon Giacometti. So when you see Simon the White, if you're back at the night service tonight, you know, if you see him, you know why Simon the White. Then make sure you wish him a happy birthday too. Now, before I get into my message is a bit of a precursor to the series that we're about to go into. Today I want to talk about worry's greatest fear. Worry's greatest fear. Who here's worried before? Who here's lying at the moment by not raising your hand? I know I worry probably a bit too much. So today I want to share with you what worry fears most. What it fears most is... So I'm not going to... I know not if I keep on speaking, I'll end up giving away what I want to say. But before I get into that message, I was reflecting just during that time of praise and worship on this passage of Scripture. There's a story in the Bible where it's called the Prayer of the Persistent Widow. And she just keeps on going to this judge. I think it's either in John 18 or Luke 18. But keeps on going back to the judge. 16, is it? Luke 16, is it? Luke 18. Oh, it's one of the two. It's in there. I know it's verses 1 to 8 of whatever chapter I'm talking about. Anyway, but this story is she just keeps on coming to this judge saying, I need justice. I need justice. And I tell you what. I've got a cat named Lazarus. I love my cat named Lazarus. He's a good cat. But when I get home late at night and he hasn't been fed all day, meow, 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 and just keep, I'll continue doing it. And so, just so you get catch a glimpse of my existence. But I don't feed him out of love. I do love him. But I feed him just to shut him up. I'm just being honest. I'm just being real with you. But it just keeps on meowing, just keeps on meowing, keeps on meowing. And until I open that fridge, actually, it's crazy. My cat's actually learned how to open my fridge. He's like a mancoon. So he like lays on his side, puts his two paws around, and then just pulls on it. And it's worked out that he's got enough strength. It's like an old school fridge. Maybe pray for my seal, the seal of my fridge, to get stronger. But anyway, so now we actually have to block up. This is going off topic. Now we have to block off our fridge with like a box. Anyway, pray for my cat. What I'm trying to say is anyway this. I feed my cat because he keeps on meowing, and it's not because I love him, it's because he's persistent. And and this story in the Bible, this person was persistent looking for justice. And it was incredible how God responded to the persistence of this woman, this widow. And I just feel, before I get into this message, that maybe there's someone here, or maybe a couple of people here this morning, where you've been in a situation or something's come out of left field, or maybe something just unjust has happened in your life. I don't know what it is. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up and share with us what it is. But I just feel like there's someone that's gone through something that's been unjust, something ridiculously unfortunate. And in your heart, you've been praying for justice, but you haven't seen the breakthrough yet. And just right now in this moment, I just want to ask people just to close their eyes for a moment. Just so there's no shame, just so you're not stressed out thinking, oh, if someone thinks that I've got something not going right in my life. But if you feel like that is you, that there's some things that you've been praying about, and you feel like you've almost stopped praying because you haven't seen the breakthrough yet, I just want you to just give me a wave. I'm just going to pray from where I am and just pray that God would hear your prayers, that there would be a breakthrough just around the corner, that you would step into that. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, there's people. Just keep your hands lifted up, and I'm just going to pray over people. And if you are currently in a season of blessing, let me encourage you, start interceding for the people that have lifted their hands in this moment. God, I just thank you so much for every single person here in this place that is lifting their hands, saying that I need a breakthrough. There's an area of my life, a circumstance, a situation that is unjust. And right now, we petition the God of justice. We petition the one who has the keys to the kingdom. We petition the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and say, God, may your will be done. God, may your kingdom come in their lives and through their lives. May they experience the victory that you achieved through the cross. May they experience freedom. May they experience healing. May they experience an opportunity of breakthrough where they can step into it and become the person of God that you've called them to be. God, we pray for freedom in people's families. We pray for salvation to come. We thank you so much that you're going to do something mighty in these people's lives, not just because you're a good God, but because we are persistent in our prayer. So God, have your way in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody who believed it said, amen, amen, amen. All right, I need these guys to get off stage. Give them a round of applause though. But how about we turn to the person next to you and say, hey, what are you worrying about? What are you worrying about? What are you worrying about? And if you need to take longer than 10 seconds to answer that one, park that one and share it over coffee at the end of the service, because our team do fantastic coffee. Now, I was doing a study on what Australians worry about. And I looked online, and Macquarie University had done a partnership with Beyond Blue. And it's estimated that 45% of people experience mental health conditions in their lifetime, things like anxiety and depression. And some of the things that we worry about, I'll just list off a few of them. It says the Centre of Emotional Health at Macquarie University did this study on what worries Australians, and they found the top five worries for males and females in Australia were this: future career, achievements and the future that's tied with that, what other people thought of them, what other people think of me, doing well at work and school. That was another one of the biggest worries. For females, the top five worries were these: my future career, the future in general, my weight. just a quick one. I'm not married yet, but men, just, you know, make sure you always just compliment your wife on just her figure. You know, don't bring that one up if that's something they worry about. Their achievements. and what people think of them. So pretty much the five things that were collectively. For males, it says future career, achievements, the future in general as well, what people thought of them, and doing well at school. So pretty much both, believe it or not, men and women are very alike in a lot of ways. We worry about pretty much the same stuff. We worry about what other people think of us. We worry about what's the future going to hold? What if my job dries up and I can't continue working? What if I can't provide for my kids? What if I'm not enough? What if my achievements, when I get to that place of achievement, isn't enough to actually make me feel like I've arrived? But I realize that the goalposts have moved and I'm never arriving. What if I feel like that all my life? You know, it's quite interesting that we worry so much, and Jesus actually in Matthew 6 told us this. And that's why I said this is almost like a precursor to our God, Money and Me series, because the context of what he's talking about is actually on the back of handling your money and possessions. Because the reality is most of us worry about money and about maybe not having enough of it, not being able to provide for our family, not being able to provide and set up for the future, not being able to get into that course because we can't afford it. But in Matthew 6:25, it says this: do not store up your treasures here on earth where moths and eat them and destroy them. And when thieves break in and steal, store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Your eye is a lamp that provides light to your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, oh gosh, how deep that darkness is. I added oh gosh in there. It's not actually in there in this translation. But no one can serve two masters. For you hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. I love that. Jesus is like, just putting it out there. Hey, look, don't stress. Don't stress about money. You don't have to allow that to grip your heart and grip your whole world. Instead, it says this: wherever you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Probably not, but it can take a lot of moments from your life. Those precious moments where you should be focusing on your children, all of a sudden it's caught up in the concerns of, will I have enough for this? I tell you what, worry is a thief. We heard from Elizabeth, our service pastor here, about John, you know, she was sharing about the good shepherd. And then the verse after, what does it say? It says, the thief comes though to steal, kill, and destroy. Tell you what, worry is a thief of the future that God has for you. Worry is a thief of, like, he's part of the devil's plan. He will use worry to bind you up, to stop you from doing the things that God's called you to do. He knows that if he can get you concerned and worried enough about temporary things, then you won't actually fulfill the eternal things that God has for you. We need to break free from worry. And worry does have a greatest fear, and I'll share with you that in a moment. But it goes on to say this: so don't worry about these things. What we eat, what we drink, what we wear. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all that you need. So seek first the kingdom of God. These are verses that a lot of us know. Above all else, live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Let's pray, and then we'll get into this message. God, we just thank you so much that you haven't called us to be slaves to our concerns. You haven't called us to be slaves to the worries of today. You haven't called us to be slaves to the worries of tomorrow. That as believers, as the body of Christ, you've actually given us the keys. You've given us the ability to break free from the things that dominate the thoughts of others, the things that grip the lives of others, God. But you don't want to just set us free so that we can be like, yay, we're free. But so we can bring freedom to other people as well, God. So we thank you so much that through this message today, you're going to help give people access to freedom over worry through the victory achieved through Christ Jesus. So God, we thank you so much. We give you permission to move in our hearts and move in our minds, that our lives wouldn't be so stagnant that we're not willing to change them, God, but we would even utilize this message today to be a catalyst, a platform of change so that we can step into the fullness of the life that you have for us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. Fear's greatest worry. You know, my brother, he's a bit of a worrywart. That's what my mum calls him anyway. So my mum's British, my dad's Dutch. My mum is concerned about finance and stuff all the time. She's not a risk taker. While my dad's a bit more flippant, I suppose, and happy just to buy this or buy that, buy this. I feel like I've got more of my dad's genes. I'm just saying. But my brother, on the other hand, he seemed to get a double portion of my mum's genes. So there was a time about 8 years ago, I'd say, we actually went over to Melbourne. Me and my brother, we went and watched, it was Coldplay live in concert. It was awesome. And it was during their Viva La Vida tour, for anyone that remembers that CD. We rocked up early and it was awesome. This is a side point, but it was the best concert I've ever been to, so that's why I'm talking about it. But we actually got to stand in the very front row of Coldplay. So for Simon Grubb, that doesn't mean much. But for some other people here in this room, it was cool. I actually had this giant yellow balloon explode in front of my face and cut my eye open. But I still enjoyed it so much because I was on the front row. And I was just like, oh, this is awesome. Anyway, but we went and saw this concert. And then me and my brother were like, well, what are we going to do now for the next week? Because me and my brother had paid to go see that concert. But then a family thing that my family does, well, my dad does with me and my brother, is every year we end up going to like a footy game, or we go to a live concert, or we go to Melbourne to go to some nice restaurants. We'd actually booked in to do that the next weekend. So we're like, well, why don't we just stay here in Melbourne? So we decided to drive all the way from Melbourne to Adelaide, down the Great Ocean Road. It was an awesome trip. And then we came back. Now, I don't know why. I'm pretty sure smartphones were around at this time, because it was only like 8-9 years ago. But maybe I just wasn't that smart, so I didn't use my smartphone. We had this old. Do you know those old like street dictionary, like, you know, those big ones? What are they called? Street directory. We had like an old school street directory, and we're coming back into Melbourne. My brother's like, Dan, it's your job to make sure we don't go through a tollway. That is your job. Here is the book. This book says where to go, which is the right way to go, which way is the wrong way to go, where the tolls are, where the tolls aren't. So it's your job. It is on you to make sure that we get back to the spirit of Tasmania without going through a tollway. Now, thanks, Nick. Appreciate it. But, you know, I was confident, as a young Christian, full of beans, full of energy, full of enthusiasm. The Lord was my shepherd. You know, he was lighting up my path and he was a lamp to my feet. So I was like, I got this. Open up the book. And I'm like, yep, we're going this way. Get him to turn left and right. And then all of a sudden my brother's like, Dan, are you sure we should be going this way? It says on the sign up ahead, there's a toll. I'm like, no, it says here in the book though, that there's no toll up ahead. And he's just like, are you sure? Because it says that there's a tollway coming up and we don't have an e-tag, so we can't go through a tollway. It'll cost us heaps of money. And I'm just like, nah, man, it says here in the book that you gave me that there's no toll up ahead. All of a sudden, we get stuck on this big, like, 4-5 lane highway thing, and it's just like this big sign, tollway. And my brother just cuts sick at me. He's just like, you said there was no tollway. We go through this entire tunnel underground, and I actually sort of felt like what it might have been like to be like Jesus under, you know, when he died and was buried and was fighting the enemy. You know, I was in that sort of place. It was like, you said there was a... And I'm just like, the book says... And we came out the other side and we pulled up and my brother's stressing out hardcore. I'm like, dude, let's just call him up and we'll just let him know what happened. We didn't get out of the toll, but I'm just saying this to highlight the fact that my brother just worries so much about... It was only like $100 or $150, because Melbourne's always more expensive than you think. $500. I can't remember what it was. Was it 500?
No.
Oh, it just keeps on going up. It's bigger than this. But he just kept on getting... He was just so concerned and so consumed by it. But the reality is a lot of us can be the same. We can be so consumed and so just trapped by concerns of things that are very... That at the end of the day, they don't really matter. It's not worth ruining your relationship with your brother over $200. I end up paying for half of it. I felt quite unjustly, you know, the persistent widow thing here, because the book that he gave me was 10 years out of date. And they'd built a tunnel in that time. I was just like, do you know, you can be really encouraged though, because this book isn't out of date. This book doesn't have lies. This book isn't this was the late edition and it's wrong. No, every word from this book can bring change, hope, transformation, breakthrough to your life. It's just as powerful as it was back then as it is now. You don't have a street directory that's out of date when you pick up this word. You have something that's current, that can change your life and arm you to live a life of victory if you let it. So my brother was so consumed and caught up with worry about $300. We'll just keep on going up now. $500. But as I said for the title of this message, it was worry's greatest fear. You know, worry's greatest fear is us recognizing that we have everything that we need in Christ. That's point number one, and it's the only point. That we have everything that we need in Christ. It's actually great that Lizzie was talking about the Good Shepherd and shared that passage. Because I want to talk about Psalm 23. You know, Jesus is saying to us here in that scripture in Matthew 6, do not worry, do not be anxious about worry, don't stress out about it, don't flip a lid and lose your nut, whatever, I don't know, whatever terminology you want to use, over $200,000 that you lost when you went through an e-toll. It kept on going higher and higher. We never paid for it. It was 10 years ago now, so the interest is, no, that's not true. We paid for it. If you get a fine, make sure you pay for your fines. That's a little side point, because otherwise you might actually get some real full-on stresses in your life if you never pay your bills. But Jesus is telling us, do not be concerned, do not be trapped, do not be completely consumed by the control of money. But I honestly believe that if we recognize that we have everything that we need, that we have all sufficiency in Christ, then it can actually bring us freedom from the grip of concern, the grip of worry, the grip of stress. Here's a rhetorical question. Is Jesus lacking anything? Is he lacking anything? No. So if he's lacking nothing and we're in him, how can we lack ourselves? It says this in Psalm 23. It's probably one that all of us know. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing, or I shall not want. I shall not want. As Lizzie pointed out before, our Jesus is a good shepherd. And his goodness isn't determined by your consistency of conduct, but it's determined by his character. He is a good shepherd. It's not determined whether you live a perfect Christian life. It's not determined whether you do Christianity on Sundays and then live your own way on the rest of the week. His goodness is not determined by that. His goodness is determined by who he is. And he is a good shepherd. But is he your shepherd? Is he your shepherd? You know, this psalm is incredible. This is a psalm that King David wrote. And when you actually look through it, you see that through this psalm, you catch a glimpse of different seasons of his life. You catch a glimpse of, like, David, before he was king, he was actually a shepherd boy. So he's writing this passage in reflection. Most people say that he wrote this psalm near the end of his lifetime. So he wrote this psalm in reflection to the life he had lived. He wrote this psalm knowing that in one season of his life, he was a shepherd. In one season of his life, he was dealing with sheep. And sheep are smelly. Sheep are stupid. I went to buy a house this week and the next door neighbor's had a sheep in it. And I was just like, is that even legal? I was in the middle of Glenorchy, this sheep just in this backyard. And I'm like, that's odd. Anyway, it's a complete side story, but pray for me. I'm actually looking at buying a new house and hoping to get one here on the Eastern Shore. Because currently I live all the way up in New Norfolk, which was, yeah, I do. I want to be down here. Sorry, we'll have this discussion later. But please be praying for me, because it seems like every property that goes on the market just disappears like that. But, and I could be stressed out and concerned about that. I could allow that to rule my thinking and be like, oh no, maybe there's never going to be a house for me. But if God is the good shepherd, I don't have to allow that to be the thing that controls me. I don't have to allow that to be the thing that governs whether I have peace or not. Because that's determined on who he is, not on who I am. And whose I am. Whose I am. The Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd? Let me encourage you, he's a good shepherd. The thief, that warrior, will try to steal and kill and destroy. But if you allow him to govern and lead you, I tell you what, friends, family, there's no better person to have leading your life than Jesus. I lack nothing. See, that's worry's greatest fear. Us recognizing that in Christ, it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things. Not some things. Not occasional things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the context was Paul saying, whether I have everything and I'm living in a mansion, or whether I'm in chains in a prison, whether I have my health or whether I don't, I can do all things in Christ. He is all sufficient. He never runs out. He doesn't lack. He is the greatest source of strength, the greatest source of resource, the greatest source of hope, the greatest source of life, because that's who he is. The greatest source of love. You don't need to just find your identity and approval in the opinions of people on Facebook, on the words and affirmation of someone who doesn't love you. You can receive it from Jesus. You don't have to get secondhand approval. You're approved in Christ when you bring your life to Christ, when you repent, when you turn, when you come to him and say, Jesus, I need you. All are saved. Jesus, I need you. All are welcome. He makes me lie down. I'm just going to go through this. Do you guys want to go through Psalm 23 together? Let's go through Psalm 23 together, because I believe that this psalm will actually help give a few keys to help overcome worry in different seasons of life. Number one is that it's the Lord needs to be our shepherd. The Lord needs to be our shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. You know the great thing about this? Has anyone actually ever been to Israel or to the Middle East? Who's ever seen pictures of the Middle East? How many green pastures do you see? Not many, if any. Not many. You see, we live in a place called Tasmania where you just look at the hills and more often than not, especially this time of year, it's green. Especially if you go over onto the West Coast. It is very green. So when we read something like this, it can be like, oh yeah, whatever. Green pastures, still waters, yeah, cool. But the context of this is actually, this was in an arid and dry Middle Eastern part of the world. So I tell you what, a good shepherd is a shepherd that can find green pastures, not just dusty hills. Do you know that our God wants to lead you to places where you can actually be nourished and strengthened? And he'll probably lead you through, you know, you don't just rock up in ancient Israel to a massive field of green. You've got to be led to that place. You know, in the same way, just continue to allow him to lead your life. He's leading you somewhere, and that place is good. He's a good shepherd. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he refreshes my soul. You know, it shows about the God's interest on the most innermost being of who we are. Not just on the surface level situations, but the deep parts of who you are too. You know why shepherds would want to, in that time, feed their sheep good grass and good water? What was valuable about sheep? Anyone know? It's their wool. That was a source of income. And in the same way, God values you because, you know, when you shear a sheep, all of a sudden you can use that wool for different things. God wants to have a good fleece on you so that you can actually be a blessing to others as well. He wants that to, like, if you take a sheep and you just put it out in the desert, the fleece will get all manky, it will get covered in knots, it will look all disgusting. No worth to it, or it won't be worth as much. But God wants to be your shepherd so that all of a sudden he can transform you, change you on the outside as well as the inside, so that it actually be a blessing to others as well. He is a good shepherd. Everyone say he's a good shepherd. He guides me along the right paths for his namesake. I like another translation that says, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. You know, sometimes when some people here, you might have been rocking up to church for a long time, and you hear a word like righteousness, and you just think to yourself, that's just so Christian, so religious, that word. But righteousness just means right living. Right living. Do you know that God designs you? God knows exactly how you are intended to be used and your innermost being. He knows every aspect of who you are. It's like when I was growing up, my uncle, he used to buy all this like awesome Lego. And he bought this, like, I don't know, for any Lego enthusiasts here, he bought this giant pirate ship that was like this long, 3 masts, red and white. It was epic. And then I got to it. Yeah. I didn't look at no instruction manual. I just put stuff where I thought it would go. And I tell you what, it didn't work out that well. All of a sudden, I lost bits. I lost bits and pieces of it. I had things in the wrong positions, the wrong holes. I had the heads upside down. Yeah, it was like a horror movie on that pirate ship. It was terrifying. Don't bring your children around when I'm playing with Lego. That's how scary it was. But in the same way, when we try to take what God has given us and just doing it in our own way, we end up missing pieces, losing things. Because any branch that's not bearing fruit, he will cut off. I'm not saying that to put fear tactics in you. Because I want you to be, you know, in control and not governed by worry, not governed by fear, but that's a reality. And if we choose to live not in the rightness of the life that Christ has called us to live and just live in our own way, however we feel, as Lizzie was saying, all those things, oh, this is just how I feel, I'm going to just do it this way, then that, my friend, can lead you to a place where God's like, well, I'm true to my word. If you're going to take the reins, then there's nothing I can do about it. Righteousness just means in the right way of living that God intended you to live. I tell you what, the right way to live can be found in the Word of God. Study it, read it, get in a connect group, encourage one another to walk in His ways. So I said a couple of weeks ago at our night service, get a coach, get a mentor, get someone that's on the journey a bit further than you to encourage you and cheer you on and be vulnerable and open with, so that you can actually work through those things. It's for our own benefit more than anything. But it's also for his benefit so that we can actually be the people that God's called us to be and actually live a life of impact and transformation. Is this good? Worry's greatest fear is us finding that sufficiency in him. But these are different seasons. This is how we can overcome worry in these different seasons. When we realize that he is a good shepherd, when we realize his character. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, this is one that a lot of pastors and preachers you would have heard if you've been in church for a while. You know, he didn't set up tent in the valley. He walked through the valley. You know, you there we go. I could go preach in an old tent revival in Texas, Tennessee. He walked through the valley, my friends. I want to encourage you, don't set up where God has told you to walk through. He is your shepherd. Continue to walk through that season. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. That's not in his nature. But don't set up tent where God called you to walk through. Make sure you keep on walking. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You know, it says that he is Emmanuel, God with us. If you invite him in your heart this morning, you'll get an opportunity. If you don't know Jesus, or maybe you've known him once before, but you feel like a sheep that's wandered off over there somewhere in that backyard in Glenorchy, then all it takes is actually the biblical word is a word called repent. In other words, turn 180 and go, God, I'm sorry for my sins. God, forgive me of my mistakes and all the things that I've done wrong. I receive your grace. And in that moment, I honestly, for myself, 10 years ago, when I did that, it was a supernatural exchange. My shame for his grace. And God wants to do that again this morning. If you feel like a sheep that's gone astray, join the club. But don't stay there. Not a good club. Anyway, clubs aren't that good. Just don't go in the club. Just putting that out there. Uni students, there you go. And people that are older than uni students, you really shouldn't be in a club. Is this good?
Oh, yeah.
There we go. I like to get some practical steps in there at the same time. I love this. Your rod and your staff comfort me. Does anyone find that interesting that he's, like I said, this is when he's reflecting on being a shepherd. But Pete Swift would know this really well because Pete Swift works at a Bible college. And he loves Psalm 23. He actually preached a fantastic, cracking message, completely different to what I'm preaching now, about this psalm at our Bible college, Alpha Crucis College. If you want to do Bible college, there's a plug. come and do it. If you want to do chaplaincy, counseling, business, come chat to me afterwards because I work there as well. Now, rod and staff, two different, what would you call them, instruments of shepherding, but both are very, very important for looking after sheep. You know, the rod actually had like this little hook, like it was like a little curve on it. You'd see those old sort of like things of Jesus walking around and David when he was a little shepherd's boy walking around with this hooked sort of thing like this. But it was actually used so when the sheep was going somewhere it shouldn't be used, so I apologize, Simon, because this is going to be slightly awkward. He would use it to go and grab it over the back of the neck to be able to pull it to safety. So rescue. Yeah, he wasn't expecting this. I wasn't expecting that. Get back down. But they would use this hooked-like instrument, this rod, to save the sheep from itself. Who sometimes needs saving from themselves? Yeah? Can we just get real for a moment? I know I need saving for myself sometimes. My decisions are not always the best decisions. And I've realized that even recently. Like I can be a church pastor. I can be preaching. I can be praying for people, seeing healings, all that sort of stuff. And then I get in another situation and I just do dumb things. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? God, you would have thought by now that I would know how to do this right. But I still make mistakes. I'm just so glad that our good shepherd doesn't get the baseball bat out and just go, "I'm over that sheep." But instead, he lovingly reaches out his rod, puts it around my neck and goes, Dan, no, mate, come over here. Yep. Sit down. Actually, you can't get a... Someone tried to get a sheep to sit. Actually, I get dyslexic at times, and I was really worried when I was saying sheep to sit. I was like, God, please help me say this correctly, because otherwise it's going to be very awkward. But, you know, sometimes we need saving from ourselves. But then the other one is the staff. What was the staff used for? When things would come to attack, the shepherd would come into play. Sometimes, you know, it will save us from ourselves. But then sometimes there's situations like a lion. I tell you what, if you put a lion and a sheep in a UFC ring, it's like watching Conor McGregor versus Mayweather. Actually, no, it's nothing like that. It's horrible. Don't do it. You'll probably get fines. But the thing is, the lion will tear the sheep to shreds. But that staff, that's when the shepherd would step up and go, hey, look, this isn't something I just need to pull you away from. This is something where I need to step in and take action. Crack it on the head. Protect the sheep. You know, sometimes there's circumstances that come, and that scripture that we looked at, the good shepherd, the enemy comes, and 1 Peter 5, the enemy's like a roaring lion looking for who he can devour. You know, situations and things will come. The enemy will come. But the good thing is our good shepherd has a staff. And that staff was the cross. And on the cross we have victory. All our sin, all our shame dealt with, the slate wiped clean. So through the cross we actually have that same, we have the keys to this kingdom. A kingdom of victory, a kingdom of breakthrough. So those things that come up against us, all of a sudden, you don't have to come up against it like a sheep against a lion. And, oh no. You can come up against it knowing that the lion has been detoothed. It might have a roar, but it doesn't have anything to back it up. It's got a gun, but no ammo. But our God is with us and for us, and He has the victory. His rod and staff comfort me. Now I'm going to wrap this up in the next 5 minutes, or next three and a half minutes. Actually, I'll get the keyboard player to come up. Jessica, let's go. Oh, no, your battery pack fell off. What a shame. Don't worry about it, though. We're talking about not worrying about stuff. And don't worry about the fact that I'm highlighting you now heaps and everyone's looking at you instead. So then you have like people like me come into your life and you just be like, stuff like that, you know, just let me just come up here in peace. Oh, wow, there we go. The anointing is here. I love this part. It says, you prepare, this is where it all of a sudden goes from the shepherd to reflecting on the king's palace. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. My cup overflows. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Do you know God wants to bless you in front of your enemies? You might think to yourself, you have no enemies. But he wants to reveal his goodness in your life to people that are far from Christ. He wants to reveal his goodness, his provision, his faithfulness, his sovereignty, his power in your life at a table with people that are far from Christ. Not just people in the church. We already know that he's good in here. I hope you already know he's good in here. If you don't, for goodness sakes, today, make it the day that you say yes to Jesus. But he doesn't want to just bless you in a church, in a Christian circle. He wants to bless you in the presence of people far from Christ so that they can see the goodness of God evident in your life and on your life. They need to see all of a sudden when you get bankrupt. I'm not prophetically saying this, but probably in this room, maybe there's been one person that's been bankrupt before. But they need to see the sovereignty of God on your life in that season where all of a sudden that doesn't consume you and draw you to a place of, who's that guy off the Lion King, that toucan? What is it? It's not toucan. Nobody knows the sorrows. Yeah. We don't need Christians singing songs like that in slavery. When you get in a situation like that, it's like, no, I know my God provides. I know that my God, even though this situation hasn't worked out, that the ship might have sunk, but I'm believing that God has better for me. You know, when you start to speak like that in that circumstance and situation, that's like a feast being prepared in the presence of your enemies. All of a sudden, they're like, that would ruin me. I couldn't walk through that situation like that. And they see the goodness of God on your life because of the goodness of God overflowing through your life, in your words, in your actions in response to a situation that is, it's not from God. God didn't cause it. But He can work all things together for good. He can work all things together for a glorious purpose. And maybe His purpose that season of pain to actually be a platform or a table where other people far from Christ can see the goodness of God. Don't underestimate your faithfulness in those seasons. Don't underestimate you acknowledging Jesus in those seasons. I tell you what, it probably has a lot more profound impact than just acknowledging Jesus in a Christian circle. In the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. I love this stuff. This oil actually had this sweet fragrance to it. And in a society where everyone stunk like sheep and walked for ages, I tell you what, it's like giving a can of deodorant to someone that needs it. It's like giving some chewing gum to someone that might need it, or a mint. You know, I think that's probably why he did it. He was the king at the time. He didn't want everyone coming in and stinking out his palace. But in the same way, reflecting, he recognized that he was the guy being invited to the king's palace, the king of king's palace. And he needed the anointing, the oil from heaven, to actually then all of a sudden, in Romans 3, it says that we've all fallen short of God's glorious standard. So he could, even though he was a king, when he came into the presence of God, the King of Kings, he recognized, he probably recognized better than most of us, he killed people and committed adultery and other things, but that if he just came in with the scent of his own life, then that wasn't appropriate for the palace. It wasn't appropriate for the King of Kings. He needed the anointing from heaven, the Holy Spirit, the oil of heaven to come upon his life. He needed the blood of the Lamb, the victory of Jesus Christ, to actually wash away those things so you could actually stand in right standing before God, before the King of Kings in that moment. That's what God wants to do in your life in every season. Any time that you feel like starting to smell, things are getting, I've been doing the wrong thing. He wants to come in and cover it with His oil. He wants to come in and cover it with His goodness so that your cup overflows. Your cup overflows. Once again, that's that picture of what should have been causing worry and concern overflowing into the lives of others, bringing blessing to others. I could read, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. You can be encouraged by that. God's stalking you. He's following you. His goodness and mercy is following you. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is where we're designed to be. That is our eternal home. This place is temporary, but God's got an eternal home. So let me encourage you. Fear's greatest worry is this, that we find the sufficiency in every season in Jesus Christ. That we find sufficiency in who He says He is, in the Good Shepherd. That we don't worry about everything, but instead we pray about everything and allow His peace to come flow into our hearts and into our minds. For in Christ I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. That is worry's greatest fear, that we find that sufficiency in Christ. And I just want to ask, actually I want to pray for, I'm just going to pray for everyone first. Let's all just close our eyes and bow our heads. God, I just thank you for every single person that's found themselves here at Energizer this morning, God. I just thank you for them. I thank you for the impact that they've had with their life so far. I thank you for the plans that you have for their life, God. And if at the moment they've been caught up in insecurity, caught up in fear, caught up in worry, caught up in concern, then Jesus, we bring those things to you, God. We thank you that your goodness is not determined by our conduct, but it's by your character. So we bring that stuff to you right now, Jesus. We bring it to you. And I pray that instead you would substitute those stresses with your peace, God. that your peace that transcends all understanding would guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, as I said, I made that decision to become a Christian 10 years ago. It's the best decision of my life. Has it meant that I've never worried about anything ever since? No. Far from it. But that's when I started to live my life outside of Christ. I want to encourage you, if you've never given your life to Christ, the baggage, the mistakes, the brokenness, then He is a good shepherd. His heart isn't filled with condemnation. It's filled with compassion for you. He loves you so much. And today, let me encourage you, make this the day that you say yes to Jesus. And by saying yes to Jesus, all it is this. It's not to become a super religious person, but it's coming into relationship with God. Relationship with God. Having your mistakes and sins forgiven so that you can walk in the fullness of life that He has for you. And all I want to do is just lead us in a prayer here today. Lead us in a prayer to say yes to Jesus. So if you've never said yes to Jesus before, or maybe you've said it once, but you feel like that sheep that's just wandered off into the streets of Glenorchy, then today can be your day to say yes to Jesus. So I'm gonna pray a prayer, but I want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me as well. Dear Jesus, thank you that you love me, that you loved me so much, that you died for me on the cross. Today, I turn from my old ways and I come back to you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for your grace. Forgive me of my sins and help me to walk in your ways all the days of my life. Thank you that you're the good shepherd, that you are my God, that you are my friend and the Lord of my life for all my days. Every day, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hey, just with every something that we like to do here at Energizer Church is help people be in community. You know, a single sheep in Glenorchy is quite lonely. Shepherds would normally have a flock, and in the same way, the church is actually, you're not meant to live out your Christianity as a lone ranger. You're not meant to be living it out like Chuck Norris, all sufficient in yourself, or whoever the modern day Chuck Norris is. Actually, there's no one like Chuck Norris. But you were actually designed for community and connection. And if you prayed that prayer today, and you know in your heart, hey, actually that was significant to me. That was me saying yes to Jesus. That was me either coming back to Jesus, or maybe the first time you've ever said yes to Jesus. Then I want to encourage you, we're family here. This is a flock. We like to do life together. We do connect groups. We have other programs. We like to encourage one another and walk through those valleys together so you don't have to walk by yourself through those valleys. So if that is you today, let me encourage you. I know it's a bit brazen because everyone else has their eyes open, but something powerful about it. But if you made that decision today, let me encourage you. Just give us a wave and say, yep, that was me. And we're going to cheer like crazy because it says that all of heaven rejoices when one person comes to faith in Christ. So did anyone actually make that decision here today? Yay, nay? Maybe your heart's racing about 30 times faster than normal because you're like, oh my gosh, he's talking about me. But like I said, no one here is looking at you with condemnation. It's more of celebration and just so excited for what you've done. Has anyone made that decision here today? Cool. Hey, look, we give that opportunity every single week because it is the start of the greatest life you can ever live. So if you did pray that prayer today and that was significant to you, let me encourage you, chat to someone about it after. You can chat to me, chat to someone on the team, chat to Pastor Lizzie. She's incredible. But we're going to close the service now. I think it would be good just to, let's just sing this out, this I will declare, that chorus and bridge part of the song. But let me encourage you, stick around for some coffee, get to know a few people, go enjoy the sunshiny day. It is a stunning day. And later tonight we have Pastor Jen Grubb back here at 5:30 preaching. For those who aren't aware, Jen's been down at Kingborough Life Church today preaching down there, so you can encourage her when you see her next and find out how she went. Pastor Dave's been up in the Derwent Valley this morning, so chat to him as well and find out how things are going in the Derwent Valley. But let's give God a round of applause and a shout of praise. And